Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And welcome back to the American Legion Show once again. I told you last Wednesday I'm coming back this Wednesday, so welcome back. Yes, the number is 347-637-3942. Everybody all around the world, all the way in Europe, and wherever you are, Canada, Mexico, the Philippines, Netherlands, you got it. So here we go. Now, tonight, if I got an echo here. Echo? That is good. We're good. All right, here we go. I'm going to bring on my first guest, Mr. Bill Mueckler. Welcome to the program, sir. Good to have you on, and thank you for your service.
You're welcome, Captain. I am here. Always a pleasure.
Great. Great. I like hearing that. I can rely on you. You're very wise. You've been along a lot of places. You've been good in industry and you served our country.
It's your
time. No. You're an author. You've done so many things. So tonight we're going to talk about things that are going on right now. And on my promo, I mentioned a few, and I think. Okay, so first of all, the derailment in, was it Palestine? East Palestine. Yeah, then they had one in Springfield, Ohio, and I work at the airport down the road from that. And that's exactly where the Trump rally was in 2016. And I went to that one. So it's kind of a weird place to have a derailment, but everything's okay. We're all good there. So... But the most exciting thing is, you want to speak about that, your thoughts on it?
Well, like everything else, as soon as it happened, we started seeing it on the news, on all the cable channels, all the networks were covering it. But they started bringing in all the experts to tell us what happened. And the one thing we know is every time there's some sort of a disaster like this or something that happens of this nature or magnitude, the experts are always wrong. And they're always, and they're always telling us, you know, everything that they know for sure that isn't so. And they're telling us everything that we're supposed to know from them that isn't so. Eventually, I think they finally came out with the fact that, I think it was on car 43, maybe?
Yeah.
The wheel bearings had heated up, and that caused a brake failure, and somehow that caused I'm not sure exactly how that happens. I would think that they would be able to know that in the... the engineers would know that. I'm not sure. I've done several consulting projects with railroads, by the way.
Really?
One of them was with Conrail, working out of Pittsburgh. And I can tell you, and worked in Illinois, a couple places, repairing track and everything. And I can tell you that this is some years ago, but I don't think the tracks got any better. It's probably got worse. And switches and tracks are really in bad shape. They need to be worked on. Need to be repaired. And the guys that go out and do that stuff, really some pretty hardworking guys, and they're really good at what they do. You know, I was out there with them, you know, on the tracks. You know, it wasn't like sitting in an office or watching a video. You know, I was right out there, shoulder to shoulder with them. Another thing that I've worked on was a couple of mining companies that used rail to haul their ore out. And so we got involved in the helping them plan and control their maintenance, their predictive maintenance, and with the cars and everything. So I'm not sure what our level of preventive maintenance is, inspection is on these rail cars, and you know, as far as wheel bearings and things like that, really pretty critical stuff. So maybe I'm heading in the wrong direction on this, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I don't think that we're spending enough time in America doing work on infrastructure and on things like repair of rail cars and railroads and everything, because whether we like it or not, we've got a lot of stuff in this country that has to move from coast to coast, north to south, within states and so forth.
Yeah.
A lot to move on rail. Now, maybe T-shirts don't move on rail so much, but boy, ore does, iron ore, coal, anything like that. We're talking about, bulk items. All that has to move, and we're just not, as a country, we're not paying attention to stuff like that. We're letting these things deteriorate. Now, I don't think that this particular accident was caused by a rail problem, but when Buttigieg said, oh, well, it's no big deal. We have 1,000 of these, what, a day or a month or whatever?
Yeah, it's probably not the right thing to say, you know.
Yeah, you know, we have 1,000 of these a month or something, whatever he said, which was total BS. I remember when we were in Conrail, the first day we were there, we're out of the big switch yard, out in the yard, huge yard in Pittsburgh. I mean, big, one of the biggest, three biggest in the country, I believe.
Hmm.
A key place to, move goods. So we've got all these trains coming in and out, and locomotives that are moving cars and, everything like that. And the day was over, and we're out there observing, just trying to get a feel for things. So we meet with the rail master, or the train master, whatever his title was at that time, and we said, gosh, so we saw three different derailments, and it looks like, you really have some maintenance problems. He said, great. He said, we had 20 today. He said, you guys weren't every place, one of the places, miles long and wide, you couldn't see everything. We said, is that typical? Oh, yeah, it's typical. He said, yeah, we could use some help. it just gets overwhelming that they end up spending all the money on the wrong things and not really spending money on the wrong things. Now I'm really going to take this off on a tangent. We're spending all our money on wokeness and who's the right pronoun? And
yes, right. Yep.
Checking the bearings on these parts. These parts weigh tons. If something goes wrong with them, and they're moving, say, roughly through cities like East Austin, probably doing somewhere around 35, 40 miles an hour. That's powerful stuff. That's not like a car accident.
Right. Yes. Because they're all going to pull together.
What's to stop them?
Right.
They're heavy, they're powerful.
So,
that's got our priorities all wrong. And, I look at things, pictures, and I see other countries, and they really speed me up when I see, China, and I see all these new buildings and all these new trains and all the new airports and everything they have. Of course, they're doing all this on government money that they're printing, and they're doing it all with basically slave labor, and if they're not slaves, they're hardly paying to make them to get it done. And, of course, it's the the Red Army, the Chinese Red Army, controls just about everything in the country, so they control all the mines and all the transportation and all that kind of stuff. So they can control all that stuff pretty reasonably and pretty inexpensively. But that's no excuse for us as America, because we can be so much more productive and do things so much better and with such high quality. We just ain't doing it. You know, we're not going out and rebuilding the railroad beds, you know.
Right.
Back them ties and stuff like that. We're just ain't doing it. We ain't inspecting the cars. Oh, we do some of it sometimes. And it's not the guys that are working on it. It's a bureaucracy that we're spending all the money on that's not going to the right places.
I totally agree. But see, as you know, you are, as a former aviator that you were, and as a mechanic, I understand this is what gets me. I think you hit a great point, because you got to do inspections, you have to do integrity checks, you have to look at, they really have to look at every piece of rail. I mean, they have to have some way, like you can do that electronically, like a time domain reflectometer type. I mean, you can check for wear. But apparently, that's not getting done often enough. Maybe it's just the frequency of it versus, I mean, it's impossible to get every inch, but, or sensors on the train that will say, hey, this is. So I find it hard to buy this story that it was really, really, really hot that they kept driving. I find that hard to believe. So just saying.
Was preventable.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is, as tragic as that was, this is going to happen again. Maybe next month, maybe a couple of months. But it's going to happen again because we're not doing anything to prevent.
Yeah.
The accidents. We're not doing predictive maintenance. We're not doing preventive maintenance. Probably not even doing a very good job of planning and controlling the maintenance activities of the people. And I have a lot of experience in that area, too, like in power plants. That's another area where, you know, we could have a potential disaster. And, you know, they're trying to shut down the coal plants, and eventually, you know, we're not going to have any electricity anyway, so.
Yeah, right. I'm going to bring on another guest here, Mr. Dwayne McClure. How are you, sir?
Hello. I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing good. I got two of the wisest guys in the business right here on my program today. Seriously, you guys are top notch. I didn't say wise guys. I said very wise gentlemen. Dwayne, tell us about yourself. What you do.
Into politics, but you know, I was about 14 years old. I worked on my first political campaign as the deputy political director. Got bumped up to campaign manager before I could vote for the same state rep when I was 17. So that was fun. And then from there, I got the bug. I went to college, and in college, I actually started a political consulting business out of my dorm room, and
wow.
What I've done with the majority of my life. 2020, I sold the business, and I've just been working as the executive director of the America First Pact since 2021. I tried to retire from politics, but I found that politics is just one of those things that you never can retire
from.
So, wow. So I've just been up, I've had the bug, ever since I was that little boy in Clover, South Carolina, and now I'm just, you know, living the dream, as they say.
That's pretty awesome. That's amazing at a young age, a manager, campaign manager. So I'd like to have you on by yourself sometimes. I am very curious to see how that works, because it's got to be massive.
It's fun.
Okay.
The hardest part has been trying to
Oh, really? Okay.
People send it out like directions. Oh, yeah.
Greenville, that you see behind me. Okay, I don't know what's fine. I'm trying to do this. The book that I mentioned to you, that's where I launched it down in Greenville. Beautiful. I love South Carolina. The people down there, and I've met a lot of politically connected people. Yeah. There you go. So anyway, I'd like to know your opinion of these train derailments that we've been seeing different places.
Good train or infrastructure. But I think from my perspective, it just kind of highlights the necessity to update the American. So really, I'm looking at this as an infrastructure failure, and I'm continually asking where these things happen. You know, how did we let it get this bad? What have we been spending money on that could otherwise, you know, have been spent in the United States,
and
not looking at you.
Okay. I knew it. So in my promo, I put, and we're going to talk about, what is it? The money that they've taken away from us to give to Ukraine.
Yeah. That's what America first. Looking at the powerhouse first, it's very hard to take care of your neighbors if you're starving.
Right. And so I call it the Drain the USA plan, a.k.a. Ukraine. Of our resources, our equipment, everything's going over there. For what? They're not making any progress. They're going backwards. But I think it's because it's a money laundering scheme. I'm pretty sure we already know that now.
Exorbitant amount of money to Ukraine.
Right.
In fact, at this point, we've sent them over $150 billion, or three times their GDP. And they can't provide, as we've done, people say, they can't show us the receipt.
Right.
So we don't really know what we're getting the bang for our buck with, literally, because like you said, they've regressed. Not only have they regressed, but at this point, it's getting harder and harder to argue that they're in the moral right when you see some of the things that the list keeps doing, like conscripting foreign nationals,
military,
banning any other language other than Ukrainian, like kicking out churches that don't want to comply with his vision of this war. Like, it's getting harder and harder to justify the money that we're sending to
and say, why is this money still going there? Because I think, like you just said, that there's some hand washing going on.
Yeah, FTX showed us that.
But let me jump in.
Sure.
I can describe this whole thing in words. Let's look at when Trump wanted to build the wall, what was that, 2017, 5 or 6 years ago, it was like $7 or $8 billion. They said, it's too much money, we can't afford it. And then when we left Afghanistan, we left $87 billion, 10 times as much equipment there, and now we've given the Ukraine $150 billion, of which a lot of that is equipment. So who is behind this? Why is Schumer and McConnell and all together on this? Three words. Military, industrial, complex. Hey, we got some stuff in Afghanistan. We'll make more for you, you know. We'll give some new contracts. We'll build new stuff for you. We got stuff over there. Hey, give it to the Ukraine. You know, we'll make more stuff here. You know, this is we'll build more F-16. You know, they're out of style, but so what? The Ukrainians will like them, and boy, we can make a lot of billions off of that because we just roll them off the assembly line.
Yeah. Speaking of that, Mr. Muckler, they were talking about putting the Dutch F-16, from the Netherlands. I worked on those F-16s for 3 years. They are not like U.S. They're tired, they're old, they're under, they're technologically challenged. They're not upgraded at all, and they're A models from way back. We don't fly A models anymore. Yeah.
They don't care. And as far as they're concerned, hey, this is really a good deal because that's probably their more profitable models.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't care if they got the best technology or not, as long as we can make the high-tech stuff for the...
Yeah, that's right. You know, what really matters is what's going on for them. So, I have to agree. I totally agree with you.
Player involved. Uh-oh. Getting rich off of this, and that's the banking industrial complex. Mm. And we're putting out there, we're spending and borrowing and putting into building all this stuff. You know, it takes funds, it takes finances.
Right.
And the bankers win, they put both sides of the wars, you know, so they win either way, you know. It doesn't make any difference, you know. They get it from everybody. I shouldn't be so cynical.
yeah, we're really back in here.
Well, you know, the cynical nature is a nature that I think all you Americans possess. I think that I don't want to say that we're a nation full of optimists, but I do want to say that we're a nation full of maybe folks who are apathetic.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vast majority of our citizenry, they're not cynical because they're not willing to challenge anything or view anything through a critical lens. But they're simultaneously not optimistic. So I appreciate that outlook because a cynical outlook is increasingly rare in the modern age.
I agree. Me and Bill was actually, Mr. Muckler was a combat crew member way back.
Let me
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Ground control intercepts. In other words,
the Marines, white fighters, we have to, if there's bad guys out there, we got to intercept them and shoot them down. That's what the Marine Air Control Squadron does, and I was a senior air director. I mean, I had the complete control over the entire crew of the operators, the radar technicians, the radio technicians, the landline guys, everybody, the engineers and transportation, so forth. So it was a fun experience. It was a great challenge, and I learned a lot. I really did a good job. And we were trained by the Air Force, or at least
okay.
I went to Air Defense School and the Air Training Command, which is that part of the Federal Air Force Base.
Yep, been there. Yep.
And one of my Marine lieutenants that went through there with me was a guy by the name of Don Stan, who was from Griswold, South Carolina, and boy, he was a Gamecock. So I'm a Mizzou guy from Columbia, Missouri. He's a Gamecock from Columbia, South Carolina. Before we were through the test of friends, Stanley, he passed away about 4 years ago. Great guy.
Awesome. So, yeah, I enjoy hearing stories like that because people have no idea how much stuff we get into in the military. And I mean, it's like next thing I know, 19 years old, I was a fighter jet mechanic. So it was the most exciting thing in the world. The excitement never ended until I retired. Just put it that way. But just like how it relates to the train should have been, in my opinion, my mind thinks preventive maintenance, like you said, should have prevented that. So that's why I'm kind of suspicious. I'm sure you are too, Dwayne. What's going on? How is this? And then they ignore things, like blow things up, and then our governor has the campaign money from Norfolk Southern. So people are acting on a lot of things, and they have a lot of stake in the government, Norfolk Southern. So what are your thoughts?
Me?
Yes.
Yeah. So I look at it as there's no possible way that, despite my low opinion of the government, there is dissonance.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I hold our citizens in high esteem. I hold our military in high esteem. I don't hold our government in high esteem. And that being said, there's no way that this is accidental.
Right.
That they didn't think about the environmental factors of, lighting a bunch of chemicals on fire and sending them into the atmosphere. So they just think about that. And I think that this really just kind of shows the position that America's kind of fallen into,
mm-hmm.
being a kleptocracy, because everyone's on the take. Everyone of authority is on the take, with the exception of a few. That you have, for example, I'm assuming based off of what you said, that you're in Ohio.
Right.
And your governor's Mike DeWine.
Yes.
From Norfolk Southern, so of course he's not going to fight the hand that feeds him. And would it be morally right for him to say, we've got to look into this and we've got to figure out where you screwed up, where we screwed up, and fix it? Well, of course, but that would be what is morally right. And from my perspective, working with politicians as long as I have, I've learned that very few of them actually have courage.
Wow. They're not going to buck the system, is what you're saying. And I remember this movie that was out. I don't know if any of you remember this. I think it was in the 40s, or I think it was the 40s. I like old-time stuff. So that scene of scenery where there's congressmen in the House, and they all were named after the companies that they represent, like, Union Oil, Senator Union Oil, Senator Kellogg. Everything was like, it was so obvious, and they had the insight back then to figure that out, which is amazing to me. We see this today. I would love to figure that out, what that is, but that was very eye-opening to me. It's like, wait a minute, back then they knew. The people that were in the know knew that stuff. I didn't really put it together, but I know they were bought and paid for, but they actually labeled them that way. So as your campaign manager history, did you see that? Because I'm going to bring this next subject in. Okay, Katie Hobbs, you know the story, right? She's suspected of taking bribes from Sinaloa cartel, okay? And other people in her administration the same way, and she had come out and denied it the other day. I did not take money. Okay, she wasn't talked about anymore. That's the motivation to stay in power. Not, she can't run for Senate. She has to run for governor because all the cronies would be gone if that was the case. If somebody else got the governorship, this is how deep the stakes were for her to win. And so she had to pull every stop. This is my assumption. What is your opinion of it? I want to hear from both of you. Go ahead, Bill. Explain. Really?
I've never seen anyone reject a dime. I've seen people campaign that they wouldn't take dollars that they already knew they weren't going to get. That's about as courageous as they've become fundraising. But I've never heard of anyone taking bribes from a cartel. But I would say that if you are in that situation, there is no way out but to win. And the most dangerous individual in any situation is the person who has to win in order to survive, because they will do literally anything to not lose.
Yeah, but...
So I think that the fact that she is fighting for her life metaphorically and just swinging, granted, no one likes being accused of taking bribes, but with the ferocity and urgency that her and her team are coming out with, it is pretty suspicious.
Yeah, I agree. Mr. Buckler.
No. So I talked to him quite a bit about this, and boy, he talked about some people out there that are really upset about this whole thing, and Carrie, like, you know, looked like she didn't have a chance on it, because Republicans typically vote on election day. You know, we just like to vote on election day, and we're not so much in this thing about, you know, filling out, you know, thousands of ballots and putting them in a box someplace on the side of the road, you know, change the election. So how could this whole thing in the Phoenix area, Maricopa County, be so convoluted that they ran out of ink in the printers to print the ballots? I mean, they weren't prepared for it at all. They were prepared. They were prepared for that to happen just the way it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that Carrie Lake could not win and Katie Holt would win. And as far as the I love what you said, you never saw a politician turn down money. That's why I was hitting at me before when I said Schumer and McConnell. I use them as examples because they're kind of like the head potentates of the Senate. They're all in bed together on this. You know, they're just like a couple of franchises that belong to the same National Football League or something like that. They work hand in hand, you know. So, you know, they have no interest in what's best for us. All they have interest in is keeping their positions and their power and their money and
your money. Right.
And keeping their actual paying constituents. You
know? Right. So, it's criminal enterprise.
For example, I grew up in South St. Louis. At that time, I think that was the second congressional district, and Dick Gephardt was the congressman. I'm going back to the 1990s. Remember Dick Gephardt?
Yeah.
This guy, his father was a janitor in a St. Louis. And I guess went to college, never had any money, and then he gets elected, and he's in the House of Representatives, and he works his way up to Speaker of the House, which means he's not making $174,500 anymore, he's making $225,000 a year. But all of a sudden, he pays cash for a $900,000 house on the water in off the coast of what is Delaware or Maryland or Virginia, somewhere along that Delmarva coast. Where does he get all that money from? And it turns out this guy's a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
He didn't grow up any better than I did in South St. Louis. And I probably worked a lot harder for what I got and got a lot less than he did. Maybe he got into the right profession than I did.
Well,
yeah.
That was good, but he just found the best get-rich-quick scheme in
I've never heard that before.
Follow these eight crazy steps, and you do get be rich.
Yeah. he was kind of an obscure example because that, I'm familiar with it. I'm from there and everything. But look at like the Clintons. He never had anything. Obama's never had anything. Now they're worth millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions of dollars. How does that work? How does Biden get all this money to buy all these places he's got? And now he takes out a second mortgage or land, rather something on one of his houses, $400,000, I guess, to pay off one of Hunter's drug dealers or something. I don't know what's going on, but...
Hey,
that's a lot of big money going around for people who don't make a whole lot of money.
Federal employees, if that happened to me, if I came up with some like $500,000, I'd be investigated. I would be, I'd drive in these nice cars and live in this nice house. There's no way I could get away with it when I was a federal employee.
You don't control the IRS.
Right. So our next panelist is Mr. Robert Reinecker. Vietnam veteran, B-52 mechanic. Also, you're at Utapau, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you're the sir. also an F-16 mechanic as well. So
yeah, UH-1, F-16, A-7, yeah.
Okay.
AC-135. I'm old.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah. You don't hear that.
Sorry, I came on late.
Oh, no, you're fine. Dwayne, you hit something really very powerful, and it's the government. The government is – okay, let me give you an example. I work on an Air Force base. The building we were in off base was fabulous. What they built on base is like a dungeon almost. And it takes forever for them to build things. So, and they don't think about any more cold in there in the wintertime and hot. It's just the quality is not the same. I mean, it's so obvious. It's just like anything else in the military, like programs and things like that, or thought processes. Now, when you get down to the military, it's completely different. So one of my premises for my next book is going to be how government doesn't work. But the military does, and it's a dictatorship. So and it's true. They're efficient. Go ahead, Bob. Talk.
No, I'm just saying it is true. It is a form of dictatorship. As the lower your rank, the more people tell you what to do. The higher your rank, you get to tell people, but it's still a dictatorship because there's always someone telling you,
right,
what you're supposed to do and how to do it.
Right, and one of my premises is that we should get rid of the FAA. You might think that's crazy, but actually, I work for the airline. There's so many restrictions on them, and they pretty much work for the FAA. All the airlines do, follow all the rules, and they're under the gun all the time. And you have to have two ashtrays on every flight, or they ground it. This is an FAA rule, so everybody has to keep extra ashtrays because people steal the ashtrays on purpose. So, when I was, what's that?
Can't smoke anymore.
No, you can't, but it doesn't matter. That's the rule they have. That's the irony of it. So we have to keep, okay, I remember one time we were at work.
You just figured out the whole premise of the government.
So, I know, it's crazy. So, now you got TSA. Believe it or not, the TSA inspects aircraft in the hangar. Can you believe that? How do they get from inside the door to in the hangar? These are things that I saw while I was working there. I was like, what is going on here? So, they have so many restrictions and so many rules. They change things. They caused the pilot shortage, by the way, because they changed the number of hours you need to become a pilot. They lengthened it. So now we have this issue. We don't have enough pilots. So they're actually in the way of the progress. And I believe in my heart, every pilot wants to land safely with the passengers. Why do we have to have all these things in the way? Because I think there's something I learned in college. There's a town in Germany. Germany actually got rid of all the streetlights, all the traffic lights, and accidents disappeared because people took action on their own. They looked left and right, and they stopped at, you know, where they had to stop. So this would apply to other things. I know, the way you think I'm crazy, right? Or relax, Department of Education, all this stuff has to, you know, it's just hindering us. You have to, you know, go to school and get a license to do hair, okay? All this stuff is ridiculous. We need to take our country back.
Don't think you're crazy, Kevin. I think when people ask me about my personal political philosophy, I say if you ask me 9 out of 10 times, should the government blank, my answer is no.
All right.
That's pretty much where we are. You know, a lot of people are thankful about everything. In the first book that I wrote, I wrote one chapter, and I'm going to read this to you. A guy by the name of Alexander Tyler, who was from the University of Pittsburgh, and this going back almost 300 years ago, wrote this. As far as democracies are concerned, he said democracies probably only last about 200 years. Now, I know we're a constitutional republic, and I get in trouble with that all the time, but talking, you know, we say we're a democracy. Anyway, here's what happens. We go from bondage, which is slavery, to spiritual faith. That's the first step. From spiritual faith, we go to great courage. Now, think back about 1770, going from bondage to spiritual faith, the great courage to stand up against King George III, to come up with a republic. Okay, from courage to liberty, it's 1787, right, the Constitution, 1789, our first president, so forth. So now we're at liberty. From liberty to abundance, our country grew and became abundant. Right? This guy wrote this stuff 300 years ago. From abundance to complacency.
Mm-hmm.
Is that about where we were in the 1970s, 80s, and 90s? We're pretty, you know, we're pretty complacent about things. From complacency, the next step is from complacency to apathy. That's where we are now. And then the final step is from apathy to dependence. Isn't that the direction we're heading in? Dependence upon the where we, back in 1776, we declared the independence from the government. Now we're declaring dependence on the government. And then the last step then from dependence, we go back into bondage. And that's exactly where our government is. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Bob, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I think he's right on the spot with the apathy, but also we're apathetic, but then we complain about everything. I mean, whether it be woke, truth, you name it, so we're apathetic on one side, and then it seems like we're also quite vocal on the other side. So, you know, I'm not sure if you guys understand what I'm saying.
It's a reality, of course, the culture of our country, that's the direction that our civilization has taken.
I agree.
Yeah, there's a few Elon Musk like myself, but you guys like Dwayne has got this figured out, you know, I know how to explain all this, and then Kevin who brings us all together, you know, and sorts us all out.
I'm using you guys, by the way. You don't know it yet. No, I appreciate everyone on the panel. I like to handpick my panels, so I'm glad you all were able to join. So let's talk about what's really going on. I mean, what's the hottest item for each one of you? What's the biggest thing in the news? You can talk one by one, I guess, with Dwayne.
Yeah, so right now, I don't see any other thing going on in the country right now. That $41,000 of that footage came out.
Yes.
And it completely refutes the mainstream narrative that they've been spinning for the past 2 years. You can see clear as day that Capitol Police let individuals into the Capitol escort, especially the individual known as Hugh Shaman, directly into the United States Capitol building. Down the hall, they try a door, and the Capitol police officer looks at him and says, let's try another one. You can't sit here and tell me, Joe Q voter average citizen, that this was an insurrection.
Right. Let me ask everybody else on this subject, okay, is Tucker Carlson going to be around or safe at his own home?
I think he's pretty much made his bed whether he wants to or not, because I don't think Rupert Murdoch's going to let him, stay, because now he's going to be under fire if he doesn't do something.
Yeah, he's a billionaire, though. He can probably stave that off. So.
Judge Hugh was calling. What is insane is that a sitting U.S. senator is calling for censorship.
Right. And I have a feeling, I know there's like some video out there that Schumer and Pelosi both recognize the people that came in to the Capitol, they were expecting them. It's on video. With a little nod of like, okay, yeah, let's go. It's go time. Bill.
Okay, the part of this issue that really bothers me is, say there's hundreds, maybe as many as 400, that seems like an awful thing, of patriots incarcerated in the Washington, D.C. dungeons. Without representation, no chance for bail. They haven't really been charged. They're just in there and apparently under some pretty squalid conditions from what everybody says. And nobody's doing anything about it. And that's not really a justice system. And what did they do? None of them are armed, so it wasn't like they commit violent crimes. You know, it's just an idea of trying to... And I don't think they're really trying to silence them. I think what they're trying to do is make it look like this was so bad that there's no way we can re-elect Trump. I think that's really what we're getting back to is how do we keep Trump out of office? And but anyway, how can these people like the guy you mentioned, the shaman guy? He was a hoot, you know. What was he doing? He got all dressed up and everything.
With no shirt.
And he's been jailed for 4 years for that.
Right.
And there's a guy, from my hometown of St. Louis, runs a young teenage volleyball player down that's visiting St. Louis. She loses both of her legs and amputated. She's 16 years old. and the guy that did it was on, who was violated his bail, his bond 51 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, how's he out on bail from the St. Louis City Jail, but the Washington, D.C. City Jail has got these guys in there with no chance for bail, and there's no representation. And from what I understand, they can't even see their lawyers.
Well, I got a friend who's an attorney for one of the prisoners, and yeah, they are restricted, but they're allowed to talk, and the things that are going on in there, and this is what this guy actually told me about these videos. He says there's, you will not believe what's in them, other people that died that they've been hiding and everything. So there's like, they can't cut their hair, or they have to burn it off with Nair, poison food, they get rotten food, and they're treated like animals. But on if you watch Cowboy Logic, every Thursday at 9 o'clock on Getter, they actually interview people from that prison. So a lot of those prisoners are now in other states, their home states, in the federal prisons there. They've been transferred. They're being transferred out slowly. But I think all of them will be freed soon because of these videos. And why Chuck Schumer is stonewalling, because he's part of the problem. Nancy didn't want any of this stuff to get out. This is her nightmare now. And it's going to point that. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
It's showing a lot of people who our friends are.
Yeah.
Something else I want to back up real quickly, Ms. Rockler said, but, you know, Q Shaman came in, he apparently broke into the United States Capitol, took it over for all of an hour, and prayed, but it was the worst attack on our democracy in our nation's history. However, Joe Biden said that if you want to hold on to your AR-15 and he decides to come take it, there's nothing you can do about it because you can't stand up to the United States government. So is the United States government so weak that a random guy in a buffalo suit can take it over for an hour and a half? Or is the American government so tyrannical that they can just rule our lives on a daily basis in the most intimate way possible? There's no dissonance. It's all political.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. Any other comments on that? Before we go to the next one. Mr. Bob Reinecker, what is the most outrageous news story these days for you?
There's a couple of them. One is the poor people that went to Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they get cosmetic surgery, and they wound up in between a gunfight between two cartels. That, I don't know, maybe that's a long way to drive from North Carolina.
Yes, I saw that.
Yeah, I don't know. But I want to tap off of what the other gentleman just said about the guns in the Second Amendment. I was on TikTok the other day, and I know that's Chinese now, but I was on TikTok the other day, and there was this woman from England who said that, was talking about the Second Amendment, and she said, the Second Amendment sets the United States apart from any other country in the world because it allows your citizens a way to defend themselves. And I thought that was pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need, and that's what they're afraid of. That's their target. That's their goal, to take that away from us. And it should not be infringed, but they make all these little laws here and there, and you know, they have excuses. Well, it's the gun butts, it's the gun this. Next thing you know, you won't have a gun, you just have bullets. And they're going to be useless to you. That's what their goal is. So,
yeah.
Mr. Buckler, go ahead.
This was life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, life means being able to live, which means defending yourself, doesn't it?
It sure does. And the original was life, liberty, and the pursuit of property. So, and they took that, they changed that away from property.
That was in the Virginia Commonwealth Declaration of Independence, that George Mason wrote, and Tom Jefferson was a part of as a 33-year-old attorney. And then by two or three weeks later, I guess it all happened in the same place anyway. They just did a cut-and-paste job, and we got the Declaration of Independence. Only they said, property sounds too much like slavery. We better not do that. So pursuit of happiness is a little bit better. So they were even politicians back then.
Yeah, so they stole that from John Locke, the original one, his treaties. See, I remember something from college. It wasn't a waste of time. Cool. Mr. Muffler, what's the most outrageous headline that we're facing today? Where are we going?
I think we've covered just about everything. Okay. I'm glad Bob brought up the four Americans that were killed in Matamoros, or Matamoros, is that the way to pronounce it? I've actually been there before. That's right across the border from Brownsville, Texas. A lot more down there. And Padre Island and down that area. I know it well.
Two were killed and two came back, yeah.
Yeah. They will walk across and go over and drink margaritas and then come back.
Right. We used to do that when we were deployed down there. Yeah, we did that. You have to be careful, though. Yeah.
We used to go to Nogales.
Nogales, yes.
Well, anyway, I guess what we're really talking about, the overarching issue here is, does ourselves actually have branches now in American cities? It sounds like almost like corporations with branch offices in places, and then we hear about the Chinese have police stations in America. I don't know too much about that. I'd like to know more.
They have our secret documents too. So, did you guys hear the Biden IG, Biden's own?
AG.
AG. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
he actually mentioned that Biden is hiding classified documents with deals for the Taliban, with the Taliban, for the Afghanistan withdrawal. So if this gets out, I don't know what happened. I don't know all the details, but it was in a respected paper article thing. So that would make sense because the events that happened out of sequence. It didn't go to plan at all, and they were late all together of where they're supposed to get out, and that's why the Taliban retaliated because they missed that May 1st or May 5th date. So at the time, I was working on the Afghanistan program, and everything started falling the wrong way. We're like, what is going on here? Why is this happening this way? And then we knew it was doomed. But that's a huge story. That's a huge headline if it's true. That's treason. So. And there's only one remedy for treason.
That's right?
He could be president of Ukraine, okay? I don't care. He can do whatever he wants, but he's going to be hanged if that's the case.
He's given one hell of a campaign for president.
Yes.
A triple GDP in 1 year.
Were you with me on Rory's program? I said the greatest president, Biden's the greatest president of Ukraine. He does more for them than he does for us. East Palestine, anybody, any city state in the United States. He does more for his son, or his son does more. You know, the cash cow machine, Hunter Biden, is feeding this guy, right? So, let's see what we got here. 3 seconds. All right, so the radio show is done. So now I can act better. I can act nice now. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So I'm simulcasting right now. So. Yes. I don't want to take you guys' time off. Yeah. You guys, if you want to stay on, you can. But I don't want to take too much time. I appreciate that and respect your time. And I know you guys have things to do. Does anybody have anything they want to say before they go?
Well, the other thing I want to piggyback on what you guys were talking about, the bad thing on the news tonight, and I don't remember if it was a Marine or an Army, was talking to Congress about it, where about when he got involved with all those 13 people that got killed, he now has 130 BBs in his body from the explosion.
Wow.
From the bombs that they... 130, yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all the equipment that you guys hear about that was left over there, I agree they should have taken it back, but it was also supposed to stay there permanently because that was their stuff. However, they abandoned it. I mean, their Air Force just took off and flew to other countries. They have no heart to fight. I mean, that's the way they are because it's so tribal. So you could be a general in that army, and then somebody from another tribe can be brand new, and they will run the general. They will control them because it's all tribal. That's one of the biggest problems they had. So, but, you know, all the planes are heartbroken. I know, Bob, you can appreciate this. And Bill, they were heartbroken. They were messed up. Most of them were useless. So.
They flew them one time, and then that was it. You know, if they didn't come off
the ground. Well, yeah. They didn't use them for anything. Yeah, they flew the cargo planes, goats and chickens they put on there. People, they transferred them across country. They didn't really do the mission. They didn't really care about the mission at the time. They were more about, you know, how can we use this equipment to benefit ourselves? So they weren't really serious about you know, defending the country like they should have.
What that reminded me of, and Bill, you may know this, it reminded me of the fall of Saigon. It took me back to the 70s, the way that happened and how this happened. You know, there's a lot of similarities in my mind anyways. You know, not the will to fight, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
I was just friends with a C-41 pilot who was flying. In and out of there is just nonstop almost, you know, taking people off and evacuating people back then. I guess there was a UC-141s were involved in that. He was the pilot of one of them, Air Force captain at the time, and he said they just flew people in, flew them out, went back, picked up more, and just continued that. So, yeah. Now, that was a war that our servicemen, we won it, but the politicians lost it for us.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mentioned this to Kevin before. Being B-52s, you know, talking about linebacker two, the North Vietnamese, they figured within 7 days would be completely out of stand missiles. We could have won that thing. We made all those sacrifices, and when they were losing, they went to the bargaining table, and our government stopped bombing. You know, I'm going way back here. I'm digressing.
Government intervention. You know, you got your senators and congressmen. You got people at the top making decisions for what's not, they don't know anything about, and it's in another country, and it's all motivated by something else, possibly. You know, that's how I see it. You don't want that to happen. They don't know anything. You know, they don't know anything about everything. And Pete Buttigieg just proved that. With his reactions and his actions. So these people are so unqualified in these agencies. It's pretty scary. You know, you see this all the time. Like Swalwell says, you know, parents don't need to take control of their kids in the schools. It's the schools. Let the schools teach the kids. Now, I, you know, as a parent, no way. I mean, he should not ever be elected again. That's a scary man right there. And he's also, I'm glad he's kicked off the Intelligence Committee. That's the best thing. I like Kevin McCarthy now. I didn't like him at first, but he's my hero now. He's doing all the right things. They back him into a corner, and he accepted it, okay?
Yes.
He's got nothing to lose.
That
yes.
Do whatever you
Dwayne, can you explain that? What's your insight on that, Dwayne? Do you know, or how does that work?
So, I mean, it was really simple. It's that Kevin McCarthy was operating from the philosophy of a pledged Republican. 30 years, which is Mech Mana. You know, I've done
this. Yeah.
I've earned it. I'm the guy whose job is. And having that philosophy for the past 30 years and the past 15 years of his career, his ego wasn't going to allow him to not be stupid. He also has a lot of power because he controls the budget more or less to speak for the Republican congressional candidate. So you don't want to be on the wrong side.
Right. Wow.
Unless you have an apparatus to support yourself. So what we saw was we saw 20 Republicans who were a combination of folks who didn't care about the amount of power that he had in the party or have their own apparatus to where they don't need his money. Say, hey, you're not going to be just like a run-of-the-mill Republican like we had with John Boehner and Paul Ryan. You're going to govern this country like conservative, or we're just going to hold out. And Kevin McCarthy, there was no other option but for him to be Speaker. And we got the best that we could get out of that situation because he conceded on everything. It takes one Republican to call a vote of no confidence. One.
Wow.
One Republican to call a vote of no confidence.
Whoa.
He no longer has exclusive control of the Republican congressional campaign budget. He's not in charge of that committee solely.
Wow.
And that committee has appointees from the Freedom Caucus as well.
Incredible.
Yeah. We got committee assignments. The man's desperation to be the next man up gave conservatives probably the most tangible control that they've had in the United States Congress in decades.
I applaud their work, and what they did is fantastic. Excellent. Thank you.
And also somebody who's desperate for power and beat you.
Awesome.
Okay. Dwayne, I got a question for you. Now, back in beginning of February, all that was on the news was the budget. You know, who's going to pass it? Are we going to get the extension? Are we going to do this? Going to that? And all of a sudden, it just went quiet. I had not heard anything.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, who did what to? Who gained what? Who lost what? Or anything?
I think we're going to
Is that what they did? Oh, I did not hear that. Okay.
No, they don't want you to know that. That's why you didn't hear it.
We lived under CNN a long time.
No, it was just another continuing resolution. They moved on to September. We'll run the same thing again.
Yep.
We don't have a budget anymore. Our federal government doesn't have a budget. We just have continuing resolutions, which means they can put anything in there, and there's no checks and balances. There's no accountability. There's no way of knowing what's in there. They just add money on all the time.
Yeah. Kevin, you've been through continuing resolutions where you can't even buy a pencil.
Right.
Because you have to use last year's budget.
Yeah, they're... Yeah, there are times where we didn't have heat in the hangar. And, people don't realize this. The government on the top has everything. The people at the bottom, they don't. And so no heat. We didn't get raises for under the entire Obama reign, absolutely zero as federal employees. We had so many constraints. We had to stop conferences and everything. Everything was like dire need. We didn't just get what we needed. The people at the bottom get fed their budgets. They don't get unlimited things like they do in D.C. And we were defending, the USA. We had alerts. We had all kinds of stuff going on. And we were the only 9/11, the red line that Obama drew. This is where he took the Air Force, and the Marines and the Navy, they could not fly any aircraft. For that time, they had the red line. This is very scary. So the only people that could fly was the National Guard, Air National Guard. So we were over in Africa when it happened. And we were the only Air Force the Air Force had because of the sequestration and the budget cuts. And the way it was written, there was all guard over there in Africa and over in where we went next, the forward base. We were it. I think he did this on purpose. We wasn't counting on the guard to be funded differently. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been there. And the red line, we were about ready to go. And he called it off. Because it was going to get real. That's why. Because it wasn't going to be a walk in the park. So this is what's scary. And this was the worst time in my military career was under Obama. Everything was thin, and the transgender showed up, and then we had the marriages and everything, and it kind of degraded things for a while there. So these things are not needed. We don't care about other people and their feelings. You know what I mean? It's about the mission. The mission comes first. That's what it's all about. There is no, I feel this way. Like I tell people, I don't care how you feel. This is your job. You need to go out and get this done because that's what we do. You're not yourself. We don't care about relationships. That's not the thing. You got teams, and teams work well. And they don't work well when you have things like that in it. Just saying, I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just saying that's not what the military is for. But he tried to turn it into something it wasn't, making it less effective. That's my take on it.
To go join my wife.
Oh, sure. Oh, thanks for appreciate you coming on.
Of course. But before I leave, I want to tell all the women in your audience, International Women's Day, to all the biological women.
Oh.
Not, that are getting participation trophies from Joe Biden.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you for being on the show. I appreciate you coming on short notice. I'd love to have you on again. Thank you. All right. And then there were. Yes. All right. Yes. Take care. Appreciate you coming on. I'm still here.
All right.
So you got to go?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, no. Tell Karen I said hello.
Hey, no. Stay with Caroline.
Yes. Okay, we'll do that. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I married up.
I
we married up.
Yeah, well, I think we're both there. Yeah.
All right.
Take care.
Talk to you later. Awesome show. All right, that was a fabulous show. I love my guest. Oops, here we go. So, yeah, we're off there. Okay, I love my guests, and I have, you know, I like to pick them and, you know, learn from them. And I learned so much tonight about what we talked about and from the wisdom from people from different backgrounds, and it's pretty awesome. Bob is an awesome guy. He's got a lot of, you know, I love the Vietnam vets. I like the veterans. Dwayne knows politics. It's so amazing how deep he was. And he knows, I mean, he's been a campaign manager, 17. That's incredible. I'm going to have him back on my show at another time. We'll talk deeply into that one. Also, Mr. Muffler, yeah, lots of wisdom, lots of knowledge from all three guests. So appreciate them coming on. That'll do it for this. I got other stuff to do, too. I can't just be here all night, right? No, I got stuff to do. I have actually coming up, I'm going to be writing articles for AFNN, and it's kind of equivalent to American Thinker, and the person who is the directing manager, Mike Ford, who was on my show a few weeks ago, so we're going to go into that. And then there's other things I'm doing. I'm writing recommendations for a book that's kind of related to mine, and I can't wait to do that. I got to get that done. But so many things, so many irons in the fire. Only so much time. You know, I got a full-time job and all that, so it's I got to use my time wisely when I get here. And then I go on other shows as well. So I appreciate my audience, best audience in the world, and I appreciate my guests. And I want to say good night, goodbye, God bless America, and any broadcast.
I'm out. Thank you. There you go.
Okay. I know.
Did they teach you anything?
Okay. is. It's just there.
Yeah. I think that
Carolyn's
wild and stupid. No, they were. She, after that, right?
You all ready to go? Feeling better?
Yeah, I'm excited. I made her some ginger, some tea.
Good.
We were trying to find something that took me
pregnant. Yeah.
We were
Yes, I thought too. Yeah, I made an hour.
Wait.
Did you make it out first?
Huh?
Out first? Did you make it out first? Right. Oh, my God. How did I miss it?
Okay. Whoa. Made it out, right? I made it out. About this time,
I'm putting her away.
Oh, yeah. I had him. I had Bob Reinert and Bill Buckler, and that's it. So we have three, four people. What girl?
They call her CC. Show up. Okay. Of her granddaughter. Oh my gosh, what did I do to my
neck?
Today
was arms, and I did the arms up. Oh, we got
some.
Who is that power mount?
Power mount. I got some power mount.
How much is power mount?
Where the hell?
What is that from? Trish. Ew. That was gross.
I was like, I had to make that at home. Go to the store and get some bacon, chicken, patty, and add some pickles. There you go. Actually, that's not a bad sandwich.
It's not a bad sandwich.
I made this. So, I've come to realize. Gas up? Is it getting gas?
Yeah. Until the fart comes.
No. Who is? Where are you? What's the one? Huh? Come on. Thank you.
doctor.